are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Tuesday, September the 3rd. We made it to September, 1 month away from training camp, and Joe Johnson coming to Detroit for a workout. This is your boy Matt Shook, a sports writer here in Detroit City, covering the NBA for the Detroit News, an Associated Press Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thank you for the listen. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. I know you spent Labor Day weekend. Maybe you were at Arts Beats and Eats in Royal Oak, or maybe just at the barbecue or relaxing, but I know that you were probably discussing the Locked On Pistons podcast, spreading the word about the show to all your friends, and we really appreciate you doing that. I want to give a quick plug to Isaiah Hull for Locked On Wolverines, Will Hunter for the Locked On Spartans show, and Matt Derry for Locked On Lions. I am not just saying that because I'm a company man and I love to spread the word about the other shows on the network to presumably some Detroit sports fans, some Michigan sports fans out there. But I will tell you this, I listen to those shows. I listen to Isaiah, I listen to Will, I listen to Matt Derry because I cover all three of these teams, Michigan, Michigan State, and the Detroit Lions, and the Detroit Pistons, and the Detroit Tigers. My head is spinning sometimes, as it is tonight, as I try to refocus my thoughts on the NBA and Joe Johnson and the Detroit Pistons. But those are just great shows for your commute. We try to keep them under 30 minutes and very digestible, good for your drive into work, your drive home from work, your run at the gym. Push through, stay with us, and you know, those are good shows. They're entertaining guys. They know their stuff. They're all good shows, and as we've talked about, network-wide, there's some national shows you should check out if you're a hoops head, some baseball stuff out there too. And obviously we know football getting into full swing, all the fantasy stuff that we have from Josh Lloyd in fantasy basketball and Vinny Iyer in fantasy football. It's a great network. I'm proud to be a part of it. And I'm not only am I a client, I'm also a customer as the Men's Warehouse, or maybe it was the balding cream. I forget to the top of my head what that was named. Anyway, having fun tonight on a holiday weekend. But today we're going to run down the news of Joe Johnson, who might be coming to Detroit. Check him out if you're going to the airport. I'll have my thoughts on it. But we're also going to pass along, we love doing this, an unfounded rumor about the Pistons that might change what you think about a key offseason move. It's a podcast. We can just pass along some rumors, unfounded. Interesting one for Pistons fans out there that might have you thinking about the offseason a little bit different. Give me a follow on Twitter, by the way, at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore for that, and then also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. But basketball season, it's in the air to me. You get the fall going, and I know everyone's excited about football, and I like football too, but if you're like me, football season just means basketball is just getting closer. So I'm excited about that. But ESPN on Monday reported, Dave McNamee reported that the Pistons will be one of three teams that will work out Big Three MVP Joe Johnson next week. That's right. ISO Joe could be coming to the D. Oh, he's coming to the D. We'll see if he comes to the D permanently. Brooklyn Nets and Milwaukee Bucks are the other two teams they're going to work out. Joe Johnson, who is fresh off the Big Three title on Sunday night, won the MVP in the in the league. Easy for me to say. The walk-off winning shot for the triplets in the finals. And what better way to celebrate the Big Three title than to get back into the NBA after a year hiatus? Joe Johnson is, and I think on my notes I actually wrote Joe Jackson, so not the father of the Jackson 5, but a guy that I've joked about on this show even last week. I made jokes about him. Can you believe that he's been an all-star seven times in the league? That's what you get for playing lots of years in the Eastern Conference. The context of him being talked about last week is we talked about the teal jerseys. And that's Rodney White was drafted after the last year of the teal jerseys. And he was drafted right before, number nine, right before Joe Johnson was picked. We're talking about the 2001 NBA draft, 38 years old. 2001 NBA draft was a few weeks after I graduated high school. I am very old right now. I'm staring 40 in the damn face pretty soon. Joe Johnson was drafted pre-9/11 I mean, there are not a lot of things that we talk about, and not to joke about 9/11, obviously, but there are not a lot of things that we talk about in a sporting context as guys who were doing things in athletics pre 9/11 that are still playing meaningful sports in the ether out here. And my point later on is, should he be playing meaningful sports going forward? We'll get into that a little bit later. But my God, Iso Joe played 17 years in the NBA. One of them was not last season. He sat out 1 year, although maybe it was a little bit more of a forced sit out. He has averaged 16.0 points per game throughout his entire NBA season. Lots of rumors last year about his possibly surfacing with this team or that team. Never happened. So he played his final year splitting up between Utah and Houston 2 seasons ago. During that season, he was salary fodder in a 3-team deal from Houston to Sacramento, released by the Sacramento Kings, who had no reason for no usage for a 36-year-old at that time. Picked up on the free agent market at the end of the season by Houston. Actually played in 8 playoff games, some garbage time, but ended his career, supposedly, a couple years back, playing for Boston, Phoenix, Atlanta, Brooklyn, Miami, Utah, and Houston. Also, Mark Spears of the Undefeated, the ESPN micro site there, reports that Joe Johnson has already worked out for the Philadelphia 76ers and is also receiving interest from the LA Clippers, Denver Nuggets, and New Orleans Pelicans. A bidding war is ensuing for Joe Johnson at 38 years old, Iso Joe. He has made $220 million over the years, over that much, actually, in NBA salary alone. So make him pick up the tab if you go out with Joe Johnson. Big three MVP. And if he signs with the Pistons, Vince Ellis of the Detroit Free Press is reporting that Detroit will have to make a move before training camp. Vince reporting that Johnson's signing, even if it's a training camp deal, would put them at 20 guys coming into training camp, one more than you're allowed to bring in to training camp there. So, you throw in Dante Hall and Todd Withers and the Exhibit 10 deals, and then you've got yourself the two-way players and then the extra man that they've already kind of brought in on the 15-man roster when you talk about Michael Beasley and Christian Wood potentially finagling for that final spot of the roster going into camp. So some decisions to be made, possibly, if they bring on a big decision with Joe Johnson coming in to training camp. And that's going to be October 1st, less than a month away. Training camp's going to be at Michigan State this year. Looking forward to getting out there and seeing what that looks like. Again, football has me excited for basketball. I don't know if I'm the only one there, but yeah, we're talking Pistons. There's some news coming across in September, which never really happens. But anything you are craving, Postmates can deliver. They're the largest on-demand network in the U.S. and offer delivery for all the restaurants, grocery, and convenience stores and traditional retailers you could possibly want or need. For a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. So gorge yourself with whatever you want from Postmates for a week, and it's on us, the delivery anyway. To start your free deliveries, download the app and use code LOCKEDON. Postmates, a hungover favorite of mine, used it more times than I'd like to admit. But up next, I've got some thoughts on Joe Johnson, and for the second time on my notes, I wrote Joe Jackson. But Joe Johnson, got some thoughts next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast.
Yes, sir!
All right, a little bit later on, I will go ahead and pass along an unfounded rumor that might have you thinking differently about the Pistons offseason, but more about Joe Johnson, the 38-year-old, one of 48 players in NBA history with at least 20,000 points, 46th on the all-time list right now, with Dirk Nowitzki and Dwayne Wade retired, as far as we know. The active points list, if Joe Johnson was, again, active, would be LeBron James, who's fourth overall but first in the active list. And assuming Carmelo Anthony is done at 22, we'll knock him off the list, which, you know, who knows. But then you've got Vince Carter, who's number 23 overall, doing the victory lap this year. So he's second overall. Third overall, Kevin Durant at the 36th. And then Pau Gasol will be fourth in the active list, 42nd overall. He's playing with Portland this year. I missed that, by the way, I think. But Joe Johnson checking in, fifth on the active list, if he was active, again, 46th overall. So with no Carmelo Anthony, fifth overall, and we know that Vince Carter and Pau Gasol, the father time is catching up to those guys. And then Kevin Durant, you know, not playing this year in all likelihood. So Joe Johnson, as far as players who might play or in 2019-20, will move up the list even more with Durant being off of that list. But should he come to Detroit, that's the pressing issue at hand right now. I say no. What are we doing here? Are we legitimately scouting the big three for talent? I went to the big three in Detroit last year. It's a joke. I mean, as far as the level of competition, it's a bunch of old guys, a bunch of out of shape guys doing their thing. I don't begrudge the big three. I think it's fine, but it's fine for what it is. But let's not be the team that sets this precedent here and signs a guy fresh off the half court big three games. Now, to be clear, I have no problem with bringing in players for workouts, any players. I think they should do it more, update the Rolodex, so to speak. The Lions in the NFL, they have guys in all the time. Maybe get Joe Johnson's cell phone number, keep it in handy in case there's an injury throughout the season. I have absolutely no problem with that. But seriously, what are you going to learn in a workout for a 38-year-old? ISO Joe is a guy who is going to look pretty good in a workout, I'm assuming, age notwithstanding. The real test is how his body holds up throughout the season. He's a career 37% shooter from three, but he was only 27% in his last season in the league 2 years ago. However, we'll give him some credit. Two seasons before that, he was 42 and 41% for the Utah Jazz. 6'7", so that helps for the Pistons' traditional small forward role, but this isn't a guy who's going to be a factor defensively. In fact, you're going to probably want him defending bigger guys because he's got a big frame, big body, won't be able to stay caught up with the younger, more traditional wings, the more modern wings, as Joe Johnson's more of a traditional wing. But, height-wise, quote-unquote small forward-wise offensively, yeah, he probably does fit in. But, you know, when the Utah Jazz were going up against the 2017 first round against the Los Angeles Clippers, guess who Joe Johnson was defending? That's Blake Griffin, because that's the kind of player that you want him defending, is those bigger, lumbering type of guys. Joe's got a big upper body, knows how to handle his body through 1,000 years of NBA play. I know that Tony Snell, being the starting small forward, being kind of the mainstay for the rotation with that traditional small forward spot, I know that's a little bit unnerving for Pistons fans. I get that. And I know that Joe Johnson's a sturdy guy, but he's never really made a living off of his quickness offensively or defensively. So, you know, maybe his game does translate offensively in a weird way. But, you know, as far as the Michael Beasleys of the world, the Markieff Morrises of the world, I envision Joe Johnson almost being a smaller version of those guys, the kind of players that those guys will defend, the power forward types or the small ball five types, as opposed to, you know, the long, lengthy Pascal Siakam, young, get out in the wing, kind of athletic guys that are dotting, you know, front courts and wings at times too throughout the NBA right now. It just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Again, that magical playoff that he had in 2017, a couple of seasons ago now, will be three seasons ago, but knocked Blake Griffin and the Clippers out in the first round in seven games, floater after floater, including some really big ones in that series that we remember. A lot of them came when Blake Griffin left the series with a toe injury, his last playoff series that he would play with the LA Clippers. But man, I am just not seeing it. I don't know about you guys. If you want to make the case, go ahead and do it. 810-666-1546. Do call. Do tell me why I'm wrong about Joe Johnson. Not a lot of hugely relevant NBA and basketball moments over his career, despite being a 20,000-point scorer and seven-time All-Star. And maybe that's shortchanging him a little bit. He was involved in the seven seconds or less in the offense that Mike D'Antoni brought to Phoenix in the first wave of the years of Steve Nash, and he was traded for Boris Diaw and went over to Atlanta and ended up signing the huge contract with the Hawks. But did, you know, always made the first or second round with the Atlanta Hawks, but and had some good playoff numbers, had some good playoff series along the way, but, you know, that team just couldn't really get over the hump kind of famously after a while. 2014, Joe Johnson had a good playoff run with the Brooklyn Nets, beating Dwayne Casey and the Toronto Raptors in an upset in the first round there. But you know, I don't have a lot of Joe Johnson signature moments in my mind. And again, a lot of times when LeBron James in the Heat or LeBron James in the early Cavs or the second iteration group of the Cavs, I don't know, like those Eastern Conference playoffs weren't really watchable in a lot of ways. And I know that Atlanta gave Boston a surprise, took them to 7 games, I believe, in a first round series one time. But, you know, those weren't series that I was watching a lot very closely. I think those were series that you watched the Western Conference playoffs and you know, maybe had those games on early in the year, but you waited for the Eastern Conference Finals if LeBron James was getting a challenge from Boston or someone during those years. But there wasn't a lot of reason to watch those Atlanta series, a lot of NBA TV type of series, as we know. Again, just doesn't have a lot of signature moments for a guy who made over $200 million. But certainly a guy with playoff experience has a few moments, but not as many as you would expect from a guy who is going to be in the Hall of Fame conversation. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer, but certainly has the career numbers to argue for a spot, not a college career to speak of that would help his case with the NBA or the Basketball Hall of Fame being a kind of a joint venture of college and pro output there. Played at Arkansas, but again, nothing memorable during his time there. Had that huge contract from the Hawks that was like the worst in the league at the time. Kind of really, in my mind, his legacy is the definition of a guy who's kind of the argument against the max contract. You create the max contract for max guys so that you know, you can't stockpile them on the same teams. But in Joe Johnson's prime, there weren't 30 players in the world that were max guys. But to some teams, like the Atlanta Hawks back then, you just give your best guy max money. And that's what kind of the team structures ended up being. Even though he's not a top 30 player in the league, he's your best guy, so you kind of give a guy max money and make him feel like he's a franchise player, even though he doesn't deserve it. Now, interestingly enough, as Vince points out, Vince Ellis in a Free Press article online on Monday, Joe Johnson, a former Arn Tellem client. So we know about the connection. We know that Derrick Rose signing this offseason is an Arn Tellem thing. But man, I'm thinking about these names. Derrick Rose, Michael Beasley, throw Blake Griffin into there too. Throw Joe Johnson into this, you know, maybe Markieff Morris is in some ways a lot of this. I mean, what are we doing here? Are we just like adding some like 2005 All-Stars? And again, I joke about 2005, but for the case of Joe Johnson being drafted in 2001, that is just head-turning. That is like a drop-your-jaw kind of number as we move on with life that is well past to the year of 2001, and I think the Pistons should be well past that too. We just talked on Friday's show about bringing in more time for Kyrie Thomas and Svi Mykhailiuk and Bruce Brown, guys that might be affected by a player like Joe Johnson coming in here. And again, end of the bench, 15th man. I'm not going to scream and yell about it, but I think there are better ways that the Pistons can use that time, and I don't want to set that precedent of getting guys that were, you know, all-stars and MVP candidates 10, 15 years ago and bringing them in to the Detroit Pistons. But up next, we're going to talk about a rumor that might have you thinking differently about the Detroit Pistons offseason. Love passing along those unfounded rumors here. That's up next on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. All right, and this thing I just wanted to pass along to you guys as we wrap up the show here on a Tuesday coming off a Labor Day weekend. One of the bigger moves that the Pistons made this offseason was using their 15th overall first-round pick on Sekou Doumbouya out of France. Now, one of the draws about Sekou Doumbouya is that he's 18 years old. He's not turning 19 until December 23rd, 2000. So, you know, the Pistons have a player that was born in 2000, nearly born in 2001, the youngest player in the NBA. He was born 6 months before Joe Johnson was drafted. So, good times right there. But was listening to a podcast actually over the weekend, and Nate Duncan and Danny LaRue do the Dunked On Basketball show. Not sure if it's a bite or a knock at the Locked On Podcast Network, but either way, those guys, I know that there's some mixed feelings among those guys, among the basketball community, kind of a deep dive crew. They're kind of coming at it from mostly a front office angle, but also some analytics as well. They're guys that are close to the Golden State Warriors organization. I think that one or both even worked for them. I don't know the background of those guys as much as I should as an NBA nerd that I hope to be. But they did kind of a summer league rundown. And again, I know these guys are a little bit polarizing. I think I've seen Laz kind of ripping on them for being anti-Pistons at times. And that's, of course, territorial as we are in Pistons Nation here. But they did a summer league rundown recently of prospects for every team and talked about each of them in kind of a shoot there. Bruce Brown, Sviv Mykhailiuk, and Khyri Thomas talked, you know, pretty glowingly about Bruce Brown. I would say Danny LaRue said some nice things about Sviv Mykhailiuk too, and they are all skeptical about Khyri Thomas and wondering if the shot is going to translate, if the size is big enough to be the defensive stopper that you hope he would be. Questions that we all kind of share about Khyri Thomas, I believe, going into year two coming up here. But they did talk about Sekou a little bit, acknowledging that, you know, it's tough to make a read on a guy after 13 minutes of summer league. Not tough, impossible, actually. But Nate Duncan went ahead and threw this out there, and I wanted to throw this out there to you guys. Again, a former front office guy in the league, I believe. Quote, "I did hear that there's a little bit of skepticism from an age standpoint, whether he's actually 18 right now," end quote. Now, I do remember reading about that a little bit over the draft process as I was doing some of my research myself. I can't place exactly where I saw that. But obviously, we know that part of the appeal of Sekou Doumbouya is that he is 18, as far as we know, and that you know, ideally he grows and grows into more of an adult, and in the body that's already imposing becomes maybe even more adult-like in the future and becomes what he could develop into, which is a high-ceiling NBA player. Now, again, Nate Duncan, no real info that he passed along, just throwing out an "I did hear," quote-unquote. And so here's me probably exacerbating the problem by passing along a third-hand rumor that Nate Duncan heard secondhand or something like that. And I'm a newspaper guy. We like facts, but I know the podcast world is a little bit different of an animal. And I just wanted to know that Pistons fans, that is out there. That is something that at least one and maybe more people are talking about. And again, I did a little bit of a short dive on Sekou Doumbouya's age myself just now. Didn't really find anything off the top of my head, but maybe you guys can find something out there. Let me know. You know, it's just one of those things that foreign players, obviously it dogs them a little bit more than your American-borns, where it's, you know, a little bit more, I guess, checked over as the years go on. But let me know what you think. And again, no evidence, no confirmation, nothing like that, but just it's something that Pistons fans should be aware of that's out there, and that maybe we should, you know, keep in mind about Sekou as his rookie year goes by. But let me know what you think about that, the Joe Johnson possibilities as well, 810-666-1546. We'll be back with another show, possibly Wednesday, possibly Thursday. Not really sure as the schedule is unfolding. I'll be at Michigan State in East Lansing for Mark D'Antonio and some Michigan State football players as well. And we will see what those guys have to say. Back at Lions facility on Wednesday. So your boy is all over the place. Got some more stuff lined up for the weeks ahead as well. Football season's rolling. Basketball season is around the corner as well. Excited to spend some time with you guys and talk Pistons as training camp opens soon on October 1st. It's your host, Matt Shook, saying thanks for listening to the Locked On Pistons podcast. We'll talk to you guys later this week.